Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I guess I had lost track a little bit of Jared Jones because the good news, as it's portrayed, it was good news. I guess I had forgotten that we're still talking, what, 12 weeks before he'll be on a mound or before he'll be playing, possibly?
Yeah, basically middle of June, I think, was the expected timeline, at least if you go based off of.
I mean, 12 weeks would be the middle of July.
6 to 8 weeks was supposed to be how long he was going to go without throwing. And now this update from Noah Heil saying that he's resumed throwing activity is obviously a sign in the right direction that maybe.
So what's the 12 weeks? Till when?
Where did you get 12 weeks from?
I thought I just heard that on your update.
No, I said that as you read the update when you were back here with me, what I read, that Jones has resumed throwing, still a very long road ahead, but he's on his way back.
Well, how long's the road? That's my question. Jones' estimated timetable for a return to big league play is 12 weeks. There it is. Todd Tomsic said that yesterday. 12 weeks limits is 3 months. That's yep. May, June, July, so we're talking early August.
He's
correct?
Obviously talking currently, like as he spoke on the 30th, not from like when the injury occurred.
Right.
So it would have been it'd be 3 months from now. Or 12 weeks from now. So, yeah, you're talking, end of July, middle of July? That's a lot.
No, you're talking end of July, early August. You and I have really been at odds today, and this stems back from our altercation yesterday when Bob and I accused you of cheating.
You did, yes.
On a trivia question.
On trivia, and I took some offense to that. Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity.
Wow.
I remember when that happened.
What a line.
And I apologize for that, but it was really Bob who was insulting your integrity because he never takes any heat, but he was all over you, accusing you of cheating on the trivia thing. Right?
Out, yes. And I did not have any of the answers out in front of me. I was trying to work my way towards figuring out what the perfect game number was because Domingo Herman threw one, and I remembered seeing the number.
Yeah.
But the other ones, I just took wild guesses.
Well,
based off of whatever Bob's guess was, I didn't want to guess the same. I just kind of went with like a one or two number
buffer. No, I understand. It's completely understandable from your part. But Jared Jones and Skeen's going to take the mound in a little while. It's always a show when he's on the mound. And the wish, you know, the fervent prayer of Pirate fans and anybody who loves baseball, including me, is to see a rotation that has Skeens, Jones, and Chandler in it, and limits because of, you know, the proliferation of injuries these days with power pitchers, plus the limited timeline when guys who are going to be really rich, like Skeens, and maybe the other two, but certainly Skeens, play in Pittsburgh. How many turns through a rotation ever are we going to get with those three guys? I can't help but wonder about
this
that.
This is turning into what, like Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden when they were on the Nets or whoever, whatever the combination was.
Yeah.
They've played a kind of combined 20 games over 2 years together.
Right, or Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor with the Cubs. They really only had 1 year together at the height of their powers. I just wonder about that. The dream rotation, I just hope we get to see it. And I hope we get to see it, you know, for a couple of years anyway. I think that would even be a bonus, a couple of years of that dream rotation. But that gets me to the story by Tom Verducci in Sports Illustrated on Schemes, which appeared this week. And it's a brilliant piece that's really centered around avoiding the arm injury. And it talks about how Skeens is, quote, pushing the physical boundaries of pitching. He threw last year 100 pitches at least 100 miles an hour, almost twice as many as any other starting pitcher, okay? Now, follow me on this one, because Verducci writes that Skeens is one of 21 pitchers over the last 4 years to average at least 96.6 miles an hour. On their four-seamer in the first two innings of games. Did you follow that?
Okay.
All right. So he's one of 21 guys in all the majors to average right there, close to 97 with that four-seamer in the first two innings of games, okay?
All right.
19 of those 21 guys who bring that kind of heat early have suffered significant injuries,
wow,
including 13 with Tommy John surgery. And the only two unscathed hard throwers like Skeens, so that leaves two, him and Joe Boyle from Tampa. So he asked Skeens to respond to this. And Skeens says, the thing I'd be interested more in is what the guys who aren't getting hurt are doing. He said, I saw it last year with Chapman. Cole, Verlander, those guys who go a very long period of time without getting hurt. Now, as Verducci says, 3 days after that quote, Gerrit Cole was on the operating table with Tommy John surgery. But he did go, you know, years and years up to the age of whatever he is, 33 or so, without ever having a major injury. So Skeens has made a study of these people. But it's just this whole idea of hoping against hope that he and the others will be able to form this dream rotation. The last time we had this hope, it was supposed to be Cole with Tyone and even Mark Appel. Remember they drafted him?
Glasnow.
And Glasnow,
to be,
right.
It was supposed to be Cole, Tyone, Glasnow.
And Appel.
I guess Appel.
They drafted him in the top 10.
Right. He didn't sign, so
yeah.
He ultimately didn't end up really getting those dreams to become even close to reality. But yeah, when you first draft him, yes.
So Tyone, Glasnow, and Cole. And did we ever even see it one turn through the rotation?
Because
Glasnow pretty much imploded, and the other guys were either gone or, in Tyone's case, all kinds of, you know, bad breaks for him. So it's just so precarious with these pitchers. And I found it really interesting that the surgery, the Tommy John surgeon, I guess, is Dr. Neil Elitrosh. You remember that name? I think that's how you pronounce it. That's the guy who operated on Ben's elbow when he hurt it. Remember that?
Yes.
So Verducci interviews him, and he says this pitching business is higher risk than it's ever been. But he points out, and this was the most interesting thing to me, that, you know, there's Darwinism happening here, where sometimes it's how your body is formed. And Verducci says that Elitash says you can look at the shoulder and elbow of a pitcher and see risk without ever watching a pitch. In other words, it's how your body is formed sometimes that determines whether or not you're going to get hurt. He says we're learning more about the appearance of the shoulder and elbow structure, and that tells you what that person has been doing since they've been growing. And some of those features are permanent increase factors, meaning some aren't.
So some arms can just be, can legitimately be built different.
Shoulder and elbow structure.
Yeah.
Yes, that this doctor, he's the, who was Andrews? Jim Andrews was the knee specialist? Was that James Andrews?
Yeah, James Andrews.
This is that guy for elbows, and he's telling the world, basically, I can look at a shoulder and elbow structure and say whether you're at risk of this. Now, of course, he hasn't looked at Skeens. Hopefully, he never will, but that's just interesting to me.
Do you kind of think that it would just be as a precaution, a decent idea for Skeens to see this guy.
Would just be interesting, wouldn't it?
Just to see what would show up and say, hey, like, you have this risk or you don't have this risk. Would that change his approach at all to trying to prevent an injury?
His approach is a huge part of the story. He's got his own trainer that he's been training with for years. He's obsessed with trying to avoid this. Skeens tells Verducci, I'm trying to know more than anybody else. He says there's an element of chance, but there's also an element to do everything you can and know your body. And Skeens says, and I think that a lot of people, they just don't know what they don't know. I'm trying to be the first guy to do these things. It's a fascinating piece because it's real. I mean, the number I just read to you, 19 of 21 guys, and all the reports and studies that are out there just tell you this is very real. And Skeens is fighting against it.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
And he says, and I think I read these quotes the other day, he's looking at Cole and Verlander as inspirations. And he says, that's the goal. Skeens says, nobody in the big leagues has my stuff. We're writing our own book. I've tried it the other way, meaning, you know, doing what other people say and tell you to do. It doesn't work. It's my game out there. There is no model for me. And the more I read that, that's not even like a, you know, bragging or anything close to that. He's just saying a fact, like, I'm 6'6", whatever he is, 240, 250, something like that. And there's nobody that has had this kind of repertoire combined with the velocity. So he's just saying there's not a model out there. I'm sort of flying on my own here. And it just makes for a fascinating piece. And it just, again, brings up that issue of, are we going to see him, Keller, or him, Jones, and Chandler in the same rotation? And if so, for how long? And it underscores this. Enjoy any and all of them while you have them. Based on, will he be somewhere else someday? And based on this specter of arm issues. He's pitching today. That's all I know. I plan on enjoying it. It's going to be, is it on TV today?
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be on the television to my right here. And I can't believe that the Pirates have one of the five best pitchers in the history, young pitchers in the history of baseball. And potentially one of the greats of all time. At the height of his powers, man, you look across sports. Yeah, he's going to get smarter and learn more and all that and hopefully win more and pitch in big games as he gets older. I don't care what sport you're looking at. He's in the sweet spot, early heading into mid-20s. That's the sweet spot for superstars. He is at the height of his physical powers. And like I said, any day he pitches, I'm almost expecting a great game and wondering if he's going to pitch a no-hitter.
And he changed his arm slot up a little bit, too. It's a little bit lower, which is not... A lot of people are wondering, why is he not throwing 100? Why is he not throwing 101 anymore? That's a little bit of a reason why. I mean, maybe by the time we get to June and July
also.
Yeah,
I think as it warms up, he'll warm up.
He'll warm up, too. But I think also in doing that, it's allowed him to change his repertoire a little bit. He has like 7 pitches right now, as Michael McHenry was telling us. That's just a sign of a guy that knows how to control his body where it's not overwhelming for him either with that many pitches. Because you could think, like, 7 different offerings,
yeah,
those angles, like, how could that affect him? And at this point, it's worked very, very well.
And he seems very content to get people out with his brain as opposed to with brute force. He knows he, first of all, can't get him out with brute force all the time. He learned that last year, that, oh, wait a second, these dudes, once they lock into 101, are going to put the ball over the fence. So I'm going to outsmart them. And he's been unbelievable with that. And he seems fine with, you know, all right, maybe I'll get 6 strikeouts today, but I'll get everybody out. Weak contact is the name of the game. It's not just swing and miss.
Just like the sweeper, or it was a slider or a sweeper that he threw to Ohtani, that nasty pitch that he struck him out on in L.A.
Yeah.
Man, last year, he would have just thrown straight 101 by him. And he did in the first at-bat they faced before Ohtani took him deep the next at-bat. It's those adjustments. How do you change? How do you adapt? And that's also what Skeens is so good at.
Yeah, it's like the scary part is he has Bob Gibson mixed with, I don't know, think of one of these guys who was just a, you know, a technician on the mound, Mike Boddicker. You may not remember that name, Linux,
no.
And I apologize for that. Anybody you can think of who was that type of guy who painted corners and changed speeds and fooled you with his guile. And can you imagine, who's the Braves guy that I'm not thinking of? It was Smoltz, Glavin, and
Maddox.
Maddox and Gibson combined? You won't get laughed off stage if you say that about Skeens. There's that potential. A guy who wins with guile and changing speeds and stuff that's not 100 miles an hour. And then there's guys that overpower you in a historic way. He may be both. He may be, who did we just say? Maddox and Gibson.
He might be, Kyle Hendricks is a bad comparison. He's not nearly as good enough. But
you don't have to say anybody other than Maddox and Gibson.
Okay.
You've said the two.
I'll stick with it.
We've said the two. Those are it. I can't wait to watch him again today.
Remember Jake Arrieta's back half of 2015?
Yeah.
That's like Paul Skeens on a consistent basis. At least at times.
Yeah. I mean, he was at that point in his career, for that little stretch, he was literally unhittable.
He had like an 0.91 ERA.
Although I always think about that Starling Marte 100-mile-an-hour ground ball he hit in that wild card game. If that had found a hole, I think they might have made a comeback. He smashed it, remember?
Yeah.
And it turned into an inning-ending out.
I always think of the Brandon Crawford and the Schwarber home runs that are the ones that I can never get out of my brain.
I always think of, was it Sean Gonzalez? What was his name?
Sean Rodriguez
punching the Gatorade cooler.
Yes, he did beat that thing up.
That was amazing. That was the best moment of that game. That, and then who was at the plate who went back at Arrieta? Who was it?
I don't think it was Gung.
Who wasn't taking anything from him. I can't think of who it was. Limits.
No, I can't
either. Why is my brain not functioning?
It's a great question. I think it's functioning very well, actually.
So
pretty well.
And thank you. Can I hear Alvin from Aliquippa
again?
I just need another morale boost.
Oh, my word.
I know. And Bob was right. Bob said when he said this to me, he was thinking of a lot of swear words that he couldn't say on the air when he said to me, no, 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 or whatever he says.
Here. Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Gino's in Jerry backup field?
I didn't expect Alvin, you dog, you.
That, when he said, you dog, you, he said he was legitimately angry and had all kinds of horrible swear words going through his mind, but couldn't say them on the air. Do you believe that Bob gets angry sometimes?
Yes, I do. I think everybody has a breaking point. Everybody has a switch that when it goes off,
and I seem to have a knack for finding their breaking points.
You can, yes.
I sent Bob, because here's the origin of that story, is there was no electricity in the house last night. So suddenly I find myself without the addiction of the phone or the computer or the internet or the television. I'm just sitting there in the dark at about 8:30 in my living room. Like, what am I supposed to do with myself here? There's all of my addictions have been taken away.
I know what you can do.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
There you go. I mean, take the playbook out.
Listen,
something,
man,
out of Aaron's playbook.
This day and age, we need like structured darkness time or silent time, or we're never going to have it. So I'm just sitting there. So I started to go through all my old files on my computer, and up came Alvin and Aliquippa. That's why I sent you and Bob that clip last night, and Bob sent me back a horrible swear word.
I thought you weren't on your computer.
Well, here's the thing. I still had texting, which was weird.
You can text us from your computer, and you do that all the time, and it comes up as your email address.
Well, my phone texting was working, but nothing else was. Nothing.
Well, maybe because your computer wasn't connected to the Wi-Fi because the power was out.
Nobody cares. But I shaved by candlelight today, Limits. Did I do a good job?
I don't see any cuts or scratches or marks, so yes, I think you did.
It was like living, well, in a cave or in the 1800s. I mean, when Ron was born, it's hard to imagine how people lived back then.
Sometimes I get burns sometimes on my neck for like a half an hour, an hour after I shave. Well, I always shave at night.
There's cream for that.
And then I go to bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it'll be gone by the morning. And typically it is.
Ask Malzi about that.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Joe, the ultimate jinx just occurred.
Oh, no. What happened?
Ian Happ on the first pitch of the game singled off of Skeens.
What?
First pitch of the game.
Why always him? Although he is Mount Lebanon's own.
Remember
isn't
he had like a yeah, he is. Remember he had like a 50 game on base streak against the Pirates? I think that ended last year.
I have a radio show to do here, but I'm glued to Paul Skeens. Let me focus on the show. It's time for the Limitless Express. All on board.
Hop on, Joe, as we get you ready to go. There it is.
Here we go.
I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with
you
here?
You can call me Ron.
First up, Joe, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
He is among the favorites to win offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is actually realistic, that he could pull a Shohei Ohtani in football in the NFL?
I don't. I think he's gonna do one of them sort of part-time. I don't think that's realistic. He can definitely play both, but to play the entire game, basically, is almost counterproductive. And setting a guy up to be injured. He may want to do it, but that's ridiculous.
Do you think that it would be more difficult just because of the wear and tear on his body? Or do you think that the meetings and everything that goes on with the preparation?
The whole thing, but mostly the wear and tear on the body. Which do you think is more critical, corner or receiver? Which do you think is the more impactful position?
Oh, man.
Wrong. It's
probably corner.
I think
I was going to go with corner. I think he probably is. I mean, he's a really good wide receiver. Don't get me wrong. But
I think he's going to play a more wide receiver from the reports I saw.
Like, if he can be a Darrell Revis.
Many people are saying, what?
If he could be like a Darrell Revis lockdown corner, is that more important? I think it's harder to find really good corners than it is to find really good wide receivers.
Yes. I think if you can lock down the other guy's best receiver, plus make some plays in the run game, it just seems like you have it's more quantity and a ton of quality there. You're doing a lot if you're a shutdown corner. I think that's the more impactful position. That's where I'd play him mostly, and then I'd bring him in, maybe on third and long situations, something like that, have him in certain packages as a receiver, but I think it might be the opposite of that. Anyway, what's next?
Steve Belichick's wife, is the son of Bill Belichick.
Steve Belichick's wife is what?
Publicly criticizing.
19 years old?
No, is publicly criticizing Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, for her role in the Bill Belichick CBS interview.
What did she say?
So via the Daily Mail, this is from Pro Football Talk.
I'm ashamed to be interested in this, but I am. What did she say?
Responding to Instagram comments supporting Hudson as a publicist who was simply doing what publicists do, Jennifer Belichick, Steve's wife, Pro Football Talk says, said, publicists act in a professional manner and don't storm off sets delaying an interview.
I mean, this whole thing is so strange. It's just weird. Like, she's Bill's girlfriend. What is he, 72? Limit 73?
Yeah. And she is my age.
24.
Yes.
And she also is a paid publicist for him?
She's basically, working as PR for them.
I think, here's the thing. North Carolina is embarrassing itself by letting her, she seems to think at least, that she has some power there.
Oh, she definitely has power.
He's put her in a position where she's an advisor.
Yes.
I would get her out of there so fast if I was at university. What has she done to be advising anybody on anything?
The lines between Belichick's personal life and professional life have been completely blurred, where his girlfriend is acting basically as his PR team and advising him on his book. And she's not calling plays or anything. I don't think that she's in meeting rooms.
It's embarrassing on so many levels that we'd be here for 10 hours trying to delineate them. I saw some of the interview on CBS. They claim, Belichick and his people, I believe, claim that his personal life was out of bounds, and then CBS came out with a statement said that wasn't discussed at all. We were basically free to ask anything we want. Now, when they all they did, by the way, at least the first question about his personal life was, how did you two meet? And she pipes in from back in the gallery and says, we're not talking about that.
We're not talking about this. We're not answering that. No. Which is,
and then Belichick comes out and says they met on a plane.
They apparently met on a flight, yes, right. And that was included in their statement. We met in 2021 on a flight, which means that Belichick met her when she was, what, like 20 years old on a flight?
The whole thing is so ridiculous. And it's like if my daughter is 16, you know, 4 years from now, my daughter comes home from college and says, Mom, Dad, you know, I want you to meet my new boyfriend, Andy Reid. You know, I mean, insane. Oh, my boyfriend will be coming over tonight. His name is Hubie Brown. What are we doing here? Limit.
Charles Barkley says he is concerned for his quote unquote great friend Bill Belichick as well. How about that? So Barkley is added into the mix as well.
This is like when, who was it? Who was with us that day when we were suggesting that this would be like you dating the older woman from Titanic.
From Titanic. Who was like 104 years old, something like that. Or what if Betty White, when she was still alive, would that have been better?
What if she came home to her family around the holidays and walked in and said, this is my new partner,
City Limits. This is him. Does he have a real name? No, we call him City Limits,
Right. You and the lady from Titanic. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is.
There's no other words to say. Next, the NFL sent the email that contained Shedeur Sanders' phone number, where Jeff Ulbrich had to publicly apologize for his
Jeff
son.
Ulbrich being the defensive coordinator in Atlanta.
Correct. That he had to apologize because it was his son that delivered the prank call to Shedeur Sanders. Nearly 2,000 people, though, received this email that had Shedeur's phone number on it. Do you think that the NFL needs to do a better job of like securing its lines, or was this just a one-time occurrence?
Well, it wasn't a one-time occurrence because a bunch of players got crank calls.
That's what I was getting to.
Prank calls, I mean.
So Kyle McCord also said he got a few prank calls before the Eagles drafted him.
Did somebody intercept those calls?
Apparently not well enough. Also, Abdul Carter, Tyler Warren, multiple other players also received these prank calls. Like, I'm curious if this is something where maybe it's happened previously in previous years, but not to like the frequency.
I've never heard it happening once.
What changed this year?
Like, I don't know.
What was so different?
Well, who are the 2,000 people that they sent out the phone numbers to?
It's including like coaches, GMs, owners, and I think a lot of coordinators were included on that too.
Well, they may have to rethink that. Who gets these numbers? Because obviously not only was there the breach in Atlanta, and it's hard for me to blame their defensive coordinator. His idiot son's walking around the house and sees this thing and decides to give a prank call. I don't know what the circumstances were around all these other prank calls, but clearly they're going to have to tighten that up and warn people that, you know what? And I saw where they fined the Falcons D coordinator, Ulbrich. They're going to have to tell people, even though, you know, we understand that family members can sometimes get access to things. You're going to be in. Did Brian Reynolds just homer?
Yes. Reynolds, anchor down to begin May. He usually struggles, or he was really hot a couple years ago in April. Brian Reynolds, once the calendar flips, he starts to turn it on. And
holy
here he
bird.
Goes. 1-0.
Holy bird follicles. So they're up 1-0. And this is, I mean, last night I thought was a pretty big win for
them. Huge.
And then if they come out and they take this series after dropping game 1-9, that would be pretty good.
And David Bednar looked pretty good yesterday against the Cubs.
Yeah, he's looked good in a couple of outings.
Yeah.
But anyway, the league needs to crack down and say whether it's really like your fault or not. Once you have this in possession and we learn that somebody stole a number from you, you're going to be punished severely next time. They've got to do something because that's cruel.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought actually Shedeur handled that really well.
Very well. The entire Sanders family, I think, handled it really well. I mean, they could have chose vengeance and have been really upset and made a point on it, and that they responded with kindness. I give them credit for that.
In fact, with Shedeur, I think he handled this whole thing very well. Not pre-draft.
No.
But what happened at the draft, including that and just his dropping like he did, I think the way he handled it is actually something that would give me hope if I had drafted him. Like, This was major adversity here for a football player to go through that. And I thought he handled it all very well.
Well, he was humbled. You know, like, he could have never in his wildest dreams imagined falling all the way down in the fifth round. And when something that dramatic happens to you and you think, you know, with all the money that he's making, he's a celebrity, just got his number retired by Colorado, that really puts your ego in check and knocks you down significantly.
Yeah, but sometimes when you are, I won't use the word humbled, you did. Sometimes when your ego's put in check like that, you become angry or you lash out. He could have handled things a lot, or you know, strike back and you tell him what it was really like in those, you know, whatever it was. And he didn't do any of that.
No. You don't think that's being humbled, though, just by based off the projections were putting him?
Of course he's humbled.
Internally?
Yes, but you're implying there that he needed to be humbled.
No,
I'm not so sure that he was the problem in the first place. Dion was the big problem in the first place.
Yeah.
And when you have your dad, you know, popping into your job interviews, I think the people that want to hire you become slightly alarmed. And when you have a limited market anyway, because there's a limited number of teams that really need a quarterback right now, especially immediately. I'm not even sure the Steelers were one, because I think Aaron Rodgers is coming here. The Giants, they wound up getting Jackson Dart, but they're maybe set this year with Russell Wilson. I don't know. And then Tennessee took themselves off the board. So it's a limited market. And then dad comes out in the months leading up to the draft and says he's going to manipulate that market and steer you away from teams he doesn't want you to go to. That's a problem.
Next, Ryan Watts, the defensive back of the Steelers that was selected last year, late in the draft, sixth round. He had a neck injury in the final preseason game against the Lions last year. And the Steelers officially released him earlier this week, with him and team doctors basically coming together and saying, look, he's got to discontinue playing football at this time. He's only 23 years old. In a statement, he said, I've dedicated my entire life to my dream of playing professional football since I was just 6 years old. Because of the injury I sustained last year, I had to make the heartbreaking decision to step away from the game that I worked so hard for. Yeah. While this situation is extremely difficult to come to terms with, I remain grateful to the Steelers organization for believing in me and giving me the opportunity to make my dreams come true. Pretty sad situation for Watts, defensive back, never really got a real chance to be able to factor in, and now medically has to retire.
It happened on the same day that Jordan Travis retired after his doctors advised him to. He had that horrific injury coming out of Florida State, drafted in the fifth round by the Jets. I thought he had a chance, you know, to be an NFL quarterback, but God, that injury that ruined their national champ. I think they may have won the national championship that year with him.
They would have gotten to the playoffs for sure.
Just basically ended his career as well. And it's a reminder with both these guys of the nature of that sport is just so brutal that it could end at any time. And I also wonder, however, if some of these guys years from now, obviously, your dream is taken away, but maybe someday you wake up and say, God, I also saved my body years and years. Like, do you wake up in your 40s and almost is part of you thankful that you are not living with what a lot of ex-NFL players live with, whether it's, you know, brain stuff, but also knees and backs and elbows. It's just brutal. It's a well-compensated life, but it's a brutal job, really.
Right, and that type of risk, it's not worth it, ultimately. You know, how much is your life worth? What is it ultimately worth for you to be able to live a long, sustainable life where you feel as healthy as you can be?
I mean, it probably is worth it for a lot.
Right.
You know, it's worth it for their families. But, yeah, there is a part of me that wonders, all right, you know, what's the next avenue for me? Where do I go? And do I wake up in my 40s with at least part of me being thankful that my body's intact and that I can play with my kids and things like that, you know?
Next, a man named Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback in New York with the Giants.
Yes, Lemons.
But Jackson Dart, is there a chance that we could see Jackson Dart at some point start? Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, says Jackson Dart has a lot to learn, sitting will be beneficial.
Here's the problem with whatever we think of Dart or don't think of him, is that he has entered a situation where the coach is on the ropes, the guy who drafted him. So what happens if Daboll is blown out of there after this season? It's a very precarious situation for Dart, because you probably want him to sit for a year, but then you might be gone. So if you're running the Giants, what do you do with him then? What does the next coach do with him?
Yeah, you want to see your opportunity with the guy that you drafted to potentially be your answer, which makes me think that at some point he's going to play, whether it's game 8, whether it's game 10, maybe even game 4. If poor Russie, they jump off the ultimate ride and Russell is falling apart.
Don't forget about Jameis Winston. Yeah, that's the thing, Limits.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Thank you. It's just you can't predict. And then so much of succeeding in that world of professional sports is the situation that you land in. And if you're a quarterback, I still maintain there's so many guys out there that will never know if they could have been good. A Tim Couch here, you know, the list, on Archie Manning there. I mean, wound up with the expansion New Orleans Saints. And then you wind up with seven different coordinators, Justin Fields. You wind up with, you know, seven coordinators and five head coaches and multiple systems, and you're just ruined eventually. Whereas if you walked in, and I think Ben probably would have been great anywhere, but if you walk into a Super Bowl caliber roster practically and a stable system and a good head coach and a good coordinator like Ben did, how much of an advantage that is? And how many guys have just seen careers ruined who could have been great? So I'll be interested to monitor this with Jackson Dart.
Kind of similar to how I think about, like, Purdy, seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant. If he went anywhere else other than San Francisco, would he be an NFL starting quarterback?
He might not even be in the league.
Right.
It's an excellent point, Limits, and that's why we pay you nine figures.